What have you learned from Christ? Hopefully, contentment is one of those things, because it does not come naturally for most of us. But Jesus can teach us how to be content in any situation, including times of prosperity and adversity. This is what we will learn today from Philippians 4, verses 10 through 14.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow before His throne. We will worship Him in righteousness. We will worship Him alone. He is Lord of heaven, Lord of earth. He is Lord of all who live. He is Lord above the universe. All praise to Him we give. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Alleluia to the King of Kings. Alleluia to the Lamb. Alleluia to the Lord of Lords, who is the great.
Hi, friends. This is Perception. I'm Don Rule, and this is a work of the Mile Street Church of Christ in Clemma Falls, Oregon. What have you learned about life from Christ? Let's go right to our text, Philippians chapter 4, verse 10, and find out what the Bible says here concerning contentment. First of all, Paul is going to speak about the fact that we should rejoice that others care for us. And so he wrote to the Philippians, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity." We often want people to know that God loves them. However, we also need to let people know that we love them. Like Paul, many people love you. Do you wish that more people loved you? Well, there is a way for it to happen, and it is the way of Paul, as I've just read to you from Philippians 4:10. Why did the members of the church in Philippi care for Paul? It is because he cared for them. If you want people to love you, then you must love people. Find out if you have cared for others the way you wish to be cared for. This is known as the golden rule. Remember, we reap what we sow. Paul rejoiced greatly in the Lord for the flourishing care of the members of the church in Philippi. When people do love you, you're not as prone to find reasons to put them down. Let us learn to enjoy the people who care for us. Let us learn, as Paul did, to see this as a blessing from the Lord. It is good to have care in the heart, but it is better to show it. Often, like the Philippians here, we just lack the opportunity. So let us be prepared when opportunity knocks. And sometimes we have to make the opportunity. Now we move into verses 11 and 12. Where Paul now writes, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Not that I speak in regard to need. speaking by the Holy Spirit. Paul assures the brethren what his motives were in desiring their help. He was not just sitting around wondering when someone was going to do something for him. In Acts 20, Paul reminded the Ephesian elders that his heart was free of materialism. It was also free of laziness. It was free of irresponsibility. His heart was filled with giving to others. Therefore, here in Acts 20, starting at verse 35 or 33, Paul said, "I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who are with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Why was Paul like this? Well, going back to our text in Philippians 4:11, he said, "For I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." See, he had learned contentment. And this is what we should be learning about life from Christ. He who is content preaches a powerful message to the people of the world. Hebrews chapter 13 explains why we can be content in any situation of life. It is a promise from the Lord. Of course, for this to have any meaning, the Lord himself must be our life. Here, Hebrews 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Interestingly, the word for content in our English translations is a Greek compound word that means self-sufficient. The Greek here literally expresses independent of others and having sufficiency in oneself. But Christianity has taken that term and raised it above the haughty, arrogant self-sufficiency of the world to the contentment of the Christian, where our sufficiency is not found in ourselves, but in God. Paul was self-sufficient through the power of the new self. So it wasn't so much he himself, but it was Christ who was living in him. In reference to the word content, one commentator says, "Paul uses it to express his independence of external circumstances. He was constantly conscious of his total dependence on God. He was not so much self-sufficient as God sufficient. Or as we will see in verse 13, Christ sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 speaks directly to this point. We are self-sufficient in that we do not need the things of this world to make us sufficient. However, we do not have what it takes either. Thus, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Socrates of ancient Greece was asked, "Who is the wealthiest person?" And he answered, "The one who is content with least, for contentment is nature's wealth." Now, let me take you back to Philippians 4. This time again, let me read verse 12. After what we've just been pointing out from verse 11, now consider these words. "I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere. And in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." I think what Paul says here is so significant because some people are uncomfortable if they are abased, hungry, suffering need. some people are uncomfortable if they abound and are full and have everything. Some people are unhappy in any situation. Some people are unhappy living anywhere. We are familiar with Paul's sufferings. I mean, that man was beaten, stoned, robbed, starved, whipped, thrown into prison falsely, shipwrecked. So many things. And I've told you repeatedly since we've been going through the book of Philippians that he wrote the book of Philippians while chained in a Roman jail cell. All of it unjustly. This man, Paul, suffered immensely. But, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 clarifies, his troubles did not destroy him. He certainly felt the pain, but he could still live. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, he said, "We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed." On the other hand, did he ever abound? Yes. In fact, when you turn to the last chapter of the book of Acts, Acts chapter 28, the Bible shows how the people of an island where Paul was shipwrecked treated him. Just imagine having been healed by Paul. I mean, how would you honor him? And that's what happened there. He healed some people. And then it says in Acts 28 and verse 10 that the people of the island honored us, that would be Paul as well, in many ways. And when we departed, they provided such things as were necessary. What about as a successful and zealous Pharisee? Well, he would have been doing very well in life like that. But that didn't destroy him. He could abound and be content with it. He could be happy. He could enjoy it and not feel guilty. Next week, we'll look at Philippians 4, verses 15 through 18, and we'll see another time when he abounded. Outward circumstances did not contribute to Paul's inward happiness, nor did they contribute to his sadness. I first learned to see that outward circumstances do not dictate the quality of life by meditating upon the Beatitudes. Are you familiar with the Beatitudes? It's a group of sayings, about eight of them, that Jesus gave at the very beginning of what is considered to be the most famous sermon ever delivered. It's found in Matthew chapter 5, the first 12 verses. There Jesus teaches that a person is blessed or happy because of inward qualities. He does not attribute happiness to outward situations, except to say that persecution is an indication of blessedness, not of being cursed. When you're persecuted, it's not because God's against you, it's because He is for you. All this is not to say that financial or other outward conditions cannot have an effect on us. For example, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 30. The Bible records the request of a man by the name of Agur to God. This man knew the difficulties of life, but he shows that it's possible to be content with being in what we might call the middle. Yes, we've just been seeing how we can be content at both extremes of life, but ideally we like to avoid those extremes so we can also avoid the temptations that are associated with both. And so watch what he says now in Proverbs 30, verses 7 to 9. He said to God, "Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Number one, remove falsehood and lies far from me. And then number two, give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Another way of saying this might be, My God, give me neither poverty nor riches, but whatsoever it may be your will to give, give me with it a heart that knows humbly to submit to your will. If God is pleased to make us poor or rich or somewhere in the middle, may we learn to accept it and to use it for His glory and for the benefit of others. 1 Timothy chapter 6 addresses the two extremes of life. Paul does not indicate that one is more spiritual than the other. We should be content and use our condition. So listen to what he says here. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. Now, if we're blessed with more, then a little bit later in that same chapter of 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19, Paul addresses yet that matter as well. He wrote, Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. So, my friends, we should not despise one who only has food and clothing, nor should we despise the one who has everything. Others have learned this lesson of life. We do not despise them in either extreme. Job went from riches to poverty and then back to riches. Joseph went from riches to poverty and back to riches. Moses went from riches to poverty and back to riches. Nebuchadnezzar went from riches to poverty and back to riches. And Jesus Christ went from riches to poverty and back to riches. We can do it too, without it destroying us. Whatever we encounter in life, let us use it for God's glory, for the benefit of others, and for our own personal development. Now, let's move into Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, where Paul's going to teach us that we should receive our strength from Christ. Paul wrote, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things. Friends, please do not make the mistake of thinking that Paul is bragging of his self-confidence, because he's not. When you read the whole verse, he shows why he is able to be happy. Again, he said, I can do all things through Christ. What Paul learned about contentment, he learned from Christ. Is it not Jesus who gave us the Scriptures, showing not only his life, but the lives of Paul, Job, Joseph, and Moses? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not only did Jesus teach Paul, but also Jesus kept on giving Paul power to endure all things in life. You see, literally, the way this should read here, the expression, who strengthens me, it could be more literally read, who infuses strength into me. Paul had such strength so long as Jesus kept on putting power into him. My friends, if we live the message of this verse, do you realize the message we send to the world? After all, what is a Christian, what is a disciple of Christ put into the world for except to do the impossible by means of the strength of the Lord? Christians are in the world to do the things that unbelievers say cannot be done. All right, so here's Philippians 4:14 now. Paul shows that he was content, but he appreciated what the brethren did for him. He said, "Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress." That is, although he was content in his situation, these brethren did something good by helping him. We can be content, but still be blessed when someone gives to us. We can be content, but by receiving from others, we give them the opportunity to do good. We are giving them to experience the greater blessing that Jesus spoke about when he said it's more blessed to give than to receive. In order for people to experience the blessing of giving, sometimes we have to be on the receiving end. A widowed preacher's wife told me of her irritation that another preacher had sent her a check when he heard of the preacher's death. She had more than enough and just could not understand why this preacher back east sent something to her. I tried to explain his motives and that she should accept the gift and then give it to someone else if she really didn't need it. Just she could turn around and give. However, she just shook her head in frustration. I wish that I had remembered Philippians 4, 10-14 that we've read or looked at today. I could have shown it to her. Why do we experience times of prosperity and adversity? Number one, to learn that we need each other. We need other people. This is what verses 10 and 14 were showing. And next week, when we look at verses 15 and 16, we'll see that also. Number two, to learn that our lives do not rest upon material things. That's why today we may prosper, and the next day we might have adversity, and then the next day prosper again. It's so that we won't put our faith, our hope, in material things. Number three, to learn to see the good in others. This is found in verse 14. You see, some people have a difficult time seeing any good in other people, and others have a difficult time commending others. But when these people suffer, they can see when other people bless them and help them. And some people don't learn that lesson until they have times of prosperity also. Number four, we experience times of both prosperity and adversity to learn to be flexible. Sometimes we get so rigid about how we live our lives and how we treat other people and how we view God. Well, having both prosperity and adversity teaches us to be flexible. Number five, to learn to rely upon the Lord. This is the teaching of verse 13. Also, in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 7, the Bible teaches that these shifting times teach us not to have faith in tomorrow. Instead, we're to be considering the work of God. Now listen to this carefully. Ecclesiastes 7, 13 and 14. Consider the work of God. For who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. Surely God has appointed the one as well as the other, so that man can find out nothing that will come after him. Do you see Solomon's reasoning there? God intentionally made one day a prosperous day and the next day an adverse day. Why? So that I won't be putting my faith in tomorrow. So that I will not be putting faith in my circumstances, but rather I'll learn to rely upon the Lord. Let us learn to rely upon the Lord and not the government. The government cannot eliminate poverty and make everyone rich. When the government takes from the rich and gives to the poor, what shall happen when the rich experience the day of adversity? The government is not stronger than God. Regardless of the program or the leader, when God appoints the day of adversity, there is nothing the government can do about it. Therefore, we should not blame the government or certain leaders when the economy is bad, nor should we give them godlike status when things go well. God runs our country. Daniel 5 is something that God is teaching us. And I believe that times of prosperity and adversity bring out this truth in Daniel 5, verse 23. One line in that verse says, God holds your breath in his hand and owns all your ways. Regardless of your situation, when you get to heaven, you will say that whatever you endured here was worth it. Why not then be an obedient Christian? So that what you do go through in this life will all count for something. Whereas, if you're not a Christian, you'll still have times of prosperity and adversity, but then when you die, it'll all be for nothing, and you will be lost forever, and we don't want that to happen to you. That's one reason why we have this radio program. We want you to know the truth. We want to help you get closer to the truth. Friends, I want to encourage you to worship with the Nile Street Church of Christ. You can find out information about the Nile Street Church of Christ by looking in the yellow pages under Church of Christ. There you'll find the map, the phone number, and the worship times. Till next Sunday, sharpen your perception about the lesson of contentment. This has been Perception with the Nile Street Church of Christ in Klamath Falls, Oregon. I'm Don Rule. God bless you.
Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered cross makes me whole, saves my soul, washes white earthy stone. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and on heaven earth be the same, be the same. For I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love
is his